First John, chapter 3. Chapter 3, First John. These verses, beginning with verse 16 of chapter 3, and they read like this. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he hath laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. In a moment, we'll pray. Let me ask you a question. Have any of you ever been around quicksand? Have you ever gotten close to it? I'm sure a few of you have. Perhaps Pastor has. Some farmers have certainly been around it. There's something about quicksand that's very interesting. When you step off the solid ground into it at first, it's not dangerous. But if you let yourself move forward just a little bit, it isn't long until unseen there's a drop off. And if you step into the drop off, except someone rescue you, you will go under and forever be lost. That's quicksand for you. Now let's just suppose that you and your friend are out walking and you come across that quicksand and you inadvisedly step too close. And when you step too close, you slip a little bit, and suddenly you are in the grips of being drawn under, and you say to your friend, rescue me, help me, help me. And your friend stands there and looks at you, and your friend says, listen, I want you to know I love you, and then turns and walks away. For those few moments that you're still living, would you believe him? Or let's suppose that you are, and with another, riding horses in the mountains. I love horses. Two kinds of animals I love, horses and dogs. I do. I love them. And I mean, I love horses. I don't even mind horse sweat. I don't. In fact, I can go to a tack room where the leather is, and I love the smell of the leather, and especially if it has been on the horse for a while and then is hanging there waiting for the next usage. I mean, I really do love horses. And so you and your friend, you're out riding in the mountains, and your horse with front legs steps into a gopher hole. It happens a lot. And the horse goes down and throws you, and in the being thrown, you break your leg. And you need help. And your friend stays in the saddle, and your friend says to you, "Listen, I want you to know I love you." And you say, "Well, okay, but I need help." And he turns and rides away. Would you believe that he loves you? No! Okay, then that's what the passage is about tonight. You see, there is a way by which God gives us so that we can serve after he has saved us. Now, when you read the Word of God, you hear the Word of God preached. Could I ask you a question? Do you really believe it? Do you? Now, I'm not talking about surface attention. I'm talking about, do you really, each word, each important word, do you really, down deep in the depths of your being, do you really believe it? That is a good question, because we're living in an age now where saying a thing is a thing doesn't make a thing a thing. And so if you believe it, then you do what it says. That is, if you love the one who gave it. Now, if you love the one who gave it, you believe it and you're going to practice it and you're going to do what the author says. So, in this case, you hear it and you obey it. Now, do you understand everything you read? No. There's not a man alive, a woman alive, who understands everything in the Word of God that they read. But the question comes, understand it or don't understand it, do you believe it? You see, you're not the measuring stick. The Word of God is the measuring stick. It's the measuring stick to see if you really mean it when you say, "I love Jesus. Because he that loveth me, he it is that keepeth my commandments." So, whether you understand it or not, do you believe it? Did you get it? Pastor will ask that question sometimes. He preaches a message, and in the middle of it, "Did you get it? Are you with me?" Those are good questions. Because sometimes people let their disposition wander. Sometimes they are referring to their device that doesn't have anything to do with the message. Do you believe it, and do you obey it, and do you get it? It's not a matter of but. No. It's all dues. D-O-apostrophe-S. It's all dues. When it comes to the truth, and I read it, and I see it, all of it is do. Amen. Oh yeah. And I have no leeway to set aside any of it and prefer my own way. So, when this test that you face every day, you read, you believe, you obey, you get it. This test concerning this truth, this book of truth, then may I ask you this question. When you're through reading, when you're through praying, what you read, what you prayed over, will you on that day determine to live it? Huh? You read it. You get it. You obey it. Will you live it? You see, you're to reproduce in your home, outside your home, in your church, on the job site, you are to reproduce the truth because he who is the truth lives in you. Huh? Oh yeah. You're to reproduce it. And you know what the result of that is? You're strengthened. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you need that and I need that on a daily basis. You really are. You're strengthened by it. And so, in that being strengthened, it prepares you and makes you ready for the next step. And the next day. Or the next event. Or the next week. Or the next month. Or the next year. In other words, life spelled with capital letters. That strengthening process prepares you to live life for the glory of God. Did you know that sanctification is pleasing to God? Yeah, and being set apart on a daily basis and being cleansed on a daily basis. Did you know that that pleases God and that strengthens you? So God's pleased and you're made stronger. And so now look one more time at verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now, what is John doing here? He's exhorting us to demonstrate true love. Now, he presents it from the negative standpoint and then from the positive standpoint. Negatively, let us not love with words or tongue. Love is more than making a good speech. I mean, don't misunderstand me now. This is not condemning kind words, comforting words, but the expression of words without a deed to back it up is nothing more than noise and is worthless. That's the negative aspect of it. But now, when it comes to the positive aspect of it, here's action and truth together. Action and truth. So, love expresses itself in deeds. Amen? Crowd. Love expresses itself in deeds. Yeah, amen. And see, that's what service is all about. You love him, you serve him. You love others, you serve them. You're a servant. Amen. I too. And so, here, the quality of truth, it's added because actions in themselves can be hypocritical. They can. Let me explain. When you say you love and you back it up with the deeds, then that is seen as genuine love and genuine work. Oh yeah. That's how it's perceived. This love that we're talking about, it originates in God. It displays itself in actions and self-sacrifice, and its evidence is seen in that wonderful fulfillment called salvation. And because God loved us first and gave himself in his Son sacrificially, you talk about a deed on the cross. You talk about a deed of suffering at Gabbatha and there in Gethsemane. Love abounding. Backed with the deed of dying on a cross. And then coming forth the third day and then appearing to and teaching and strengthening the disciples for that soon to be departure on his part. Wonderful love. Wonderful Savior. I mean, you have to be very careful here. This love that we're talking about, let's understand something about this. See, it's easy when the heart has been moved and you're blessed. Now don't miss me here. Stay with me here. It's easy when you've been blessed and moved to settle for talking about the experience that you just had, and enjoying with each other, talking about a need that could be or has been met, instead of you yourself doing more than just talking about it. You know what the result of the lack of? That's hypocrisy. Don't discard that. It is. You don't enjoy the experience without then yourself being willing to sacrificially do something for someone else. Amen? Sure. And so this practicality of the deeds, it gives value to the word that's spoken. When I was a boy, my daddy, he took me to the top of a hill. And down below in Oklahoma, there was a pond, pretty good sized pond. And he said, now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to learn to swim. And I'm little. And he's big. And he left me standing. And he ran down that decline. And dived into the pond and swam across to the other side. And easily turned around and swam back and climbed out of the pond. And came up to the top of the hill. And he said, now we're going to do it. And he took me by the hand. And you know, that was one time I was not impressed with the word we. But he took me by the hand and ran down the decline and dived in and let go of my hand. Now, wait a minute. You know, I'm just little. By the way, I've never gotten over that. But I mean, I didn't know what to do. And he said, just here. And he showed me. He didn't take a hold of me. Showed me. And I'm going under and I'm coming up and I'm going under and I'm coming up. And if there is a clear body of water in Oklahoma, I've never seen it. It's all red. It's murky. And he finally, he reached over and took hold of me and pulled me over on his shoulder. And then swam back to the shoreline. You know that I knew by that deed that he loved me. I did not sense that he loved me when he let go of my hand in the water. But when he picked me up and pulled me over on his shoulder, I knew he loved me. Do you understand that that's what Jesus has done for you? Do you understand that he has rescued you from the pond of life that's murky? Do you understand that? And therefore, because he has done that, then when I now, because I'm saved, rescued, when I'm expressing myself, when I say I love, it requires also some action. You remember Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, he said, here now, hear this. He said to the Savior, what wilt thou have me to do? I think you folks who are English teachers, I think, does that mean that there is action on my part involved there? I mean, what wilt thou have me to do? Do. That's what's involved there. It's a matter of action. I mean, remember Abner to the Israeli men. After he made peace with David and he appealed to the hesitating tribes to do the same, he said, hear me now, he said, ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then, do it. Oh yeah, there's action involved. I say I love, okay, then there's action involved. I mean, and they did it, and it was the turning point in the history of those times. You say you love, you must act upon it. And see, that's what John is teaching here. That's what he's giving to us. Everything that we're reading now, then, do it! What does that mean? It means obey, because it is the very best way to show that you believe. Amen, 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 amen. So therefore, let us not love in word, but in deed and in truth. For to say we're moved by a need and to do nothing about meeting that need is to be self-deceived. So, now, having looked at the exhortation to practice, I want you with me to look at the tenderness of this love. Beginning with verse 19. Notice now in the text what verse 19 says, and on to verse 20. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall, now don't miss this word, assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. What do you think of that? Do you understand that verse 19 is the confirming heart? A heart confirmed. I mean, the work of the Savior, what he has done to rescue us, the witness of the Spirit. And here, John adds good works. Not as a ground for salvation, but as a result of salvation. And so as such, they, the works, help confirm deep in the heart that our faith is not in vain, and that at the root of all of it is the fact that we love him enough. Because we're saved, we love him enough that we'll serve him and do it and do it and do it and let nothing keep us from doing it. That's why it's so important to obey the Lord about a daily walk when you intend to walk in the Spirit. So there is a confirming heart. But in that verse 20, we read about a condemning heart. There are times when our hearts make us feel guilty. So John here, he lifts us up above our feelings to solid facts. And God is infinitely greater than our hearts. Sometimes we, even in our expectations, we let ourselves down. And we fail to depend on him and obey him. And we don't come up to our own expectations, let alone God's, and we discover afresh that the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, according to Jeremiah 17:9. And we find our hearts full of pride and anger and selfishness and bitterness and resentment and lust, and we're tempted to sometimes even question and wonder, and this happens with people, am I really saved if I do these things? But God is greater than the condemnation in our heart. And we are kept by that one who's never lost a case. He's the greatest attorney in the universe. He never loses. Never. He's paid the price. His blood was shed. You are now kept by the power of God. And you are blessed. So in the confirmation of your salvation, even in the condemnation of what your heart seems to do sometimes, there now never need be any sense of condemnation, because he has delivered you. Therefore, there in verse 21 is the confident heart. Look at that verse. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. How precious are those moments when you're right with God and you're at peace with God. And with yourself, and you can approach him in grateful boldness, and there's an openness, and there's a transparency, and a confidence. And our great high priest has gone into the holiest of heaven, and he now stands there on our behalf. And anything that the wicked one would try to do in any form of accusation or deed against us, Almighty God, in the person of the Savior Jesus Christ, steps forth and he says to the Father, I paid for him and we saved him and he's now ours. And therefore, when it's done, the wicked one must flee. Thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
Thank God for this book. May I say something to you tonight in closing? Thank God. Don't take this for granted. Thank God for this church. You realize the Savior shed his blood for this assembly. And I know you realize this or you wouldn't be here tonight. We are given specific commands about the assembly. And we're to obey every single one of those commands about the assembly, as well as about people individually. My heart and my life, would to God they were perfect, but they're not, nor is yours perfect. And the scripture says, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight, this is the way of getting answers to prayer. Huh? I mean, Pastor has been saying, using some figures that are within his own being, his own heart, about the men's prayer advance. Those numbers that he offers are not fictional. They are desirable. And they are possible. But we must obey and we must pray. Did you get that?
Amen.
I mean, to see the Word of God. Listen, when the Word of God is preached, Pastor John O., Pastor Craig, from this pulpit, it is preached in accuracy. Enough study goes on in the heart and life and mind of these men and the offices where they sit and study with the helps of the devices. When the word is preached, it's not a part of the apostasy that exists. When the word is preached, it is powerful. And in hearing it and practicing it, it prepares you and helps you in the warfare to not be taken in by some of the so-called mandates from those who are attempting to be dictators. You have one and I have one and we have one only unto whom we bow. Now wait a minute. We're going to exercise obedience to those in authority above. Of course that's true. That's a given. But when it comes to that final, that in-depth root, there is only one unto whom we bow. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
Where are you tonight? In your heart, where are you? If you love Him, you keep His commandments. Well, you're looking at the guy that needs it maybe more than you do. And I want to be what I ought to be. I have a question. Do you? Now, that's a fair question. You say it's none of your business. Oh, yes, it is. I do hold a position of helping pastor to be an overseer. I do. Now, I'm not a sin sniffer. No! But I am an observationist. And if I can help you, then I want to. And you know how that is? It is in, first of all, in the name of Jesus. But now hear me, don't miss this. And also in support of pastor. You understand that? No, that's the way it is. It is not of myself and in and of myself. No. It is under the direction of the Spirit of God to offer to anyone who's needy the kind of help in Jesus' name, depending on Him, that that person needs. That's why there's a food bank. So, when you came tonight, do you understand that we're to pray and we're to work? Yeah. And you see the triumph of love in the deeds that are acted upon. Did you hear me? The triumph of love is seen in the deeds that are acted upon. Now, if we can have a microphone somehow, someone, thank you, brother. Will you get that microphone and give it to Pastor Craig Scott? And I'm going to ask him to close in prayer. I'm not going to ask him to come up. He can keep his seat. This is one time he better obey the elder. Stay in your seat. But when he prays, he's going to pray for a closing. But then he'll choose to do whatever he chooses to do in the time that's remaining. And Pastor, will you take charge?
Thank you, Father, for what we've heard. Let us not just talk about love, but let us love like Jesus. I want to love like Jesus. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ personally as Lord and Savior, I pray tonight would be that night where they call on Jesus to receive Christ. Lord, I pray that may it be true that we just not talk about the Christian life. We not just talk about these things. God, we would love you in spirit and in truth. We'd actually do it in deed. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.